and we've seen it before. So Acts. Today we're going to start looking at the books of Thessalonians today. Been meaning to do this for a while, but haven't quite got to it till now. And again, don't ever want teachings to be academic, if you know what I mean. It's not just about history and all these things, but why do we do some of the things that we do? We did look at Romans a while ago, a couple years back, and then I looked at Ephesians, and so I thought we would complete the doctrinal epistles by looking at Thessalonians. And that's why we do it, so we know how to believe rightly, and you know, and then when we're walking, or not walking rightly, we will know where to go to take a look at what God's word says in terms of what it is to be believed, to believe rightly. And we know that the three doctrinal epistles, Romans, Ephesians, Thessalonians, give you the foundation for right believing. The all truth that Jesus Christ had said the Spirit would lead the church into. And then we know that there's groupings of epistles. I remember, if you remember back when we looked at Ephesians, it was pretty important for us to understand Romans before you understand the truths that are in Ephesians. Likewise, Thessalonians builds on the truths that are in Ephesians, but there is no corresponding reproof or correction because the Lord Jesus Christ will be dealing with the situations in Thessalonians, and it's going to go as planned. Actually. So to start looking at Thessalonians, we'll go to Acts chapter 15. And again, I say it's not an academic look. I mean, when we look at some of these things, the idea is always to understand how we too can walk in God's power the way that these men and women did in the Bible. So Acts 15, if you'll remember the history of Acts 15, there was a doctrinal question in the book of in its first century church about whether the believers needed to circumcise themselves or not. And so some of the men had come up from Jerusalem and had said that they couldn't be basically saved unless they circumcised themselves. And so Paul and Barnabas had gone back to Jerusalem and gotten together with the elders about that question. And after a lot of discussion and probably, you know, loud voices, who knows what happened at the Council of Jerusalem, men are men, right? They eventually agreed that they didn't need to be circumcised, and then they wrote letters to the churches, and this is where this starts off in Acts 15:25. It seemed good unto us, and this was the conclusion of the Council of Jerusalem, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which to keep yourself, you shall do well, fare you well. So that was James's letter. So when they were dismissed, verse 30, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered together the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city, where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And if you look up here, the last time they were in this region over here, and John Mark had decided to go back home to Jerusalem, when Paul and Barnabas had headed up towards the north there. And so he didn't go with them to the work, so Paul thought it was not very wise to take him. Verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And if you look here, that would have been, let's see if I can get that up there on the chart here. Yeah, so they went that area. So they started from Jerusalem, that area, and they went up and confirmed the churches that they had visited before. And that's where this section talks about here. Then he came, chapter 16, verse 1, to Derbe and Lystra. And you can look on the map. That's approximately right up there where the end of the arrow is there. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Again, we're looking at the background of Thessalonians, and all these men we're talking about here in this section is the background of the writing to the Thessalonians. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him. This is interesting. He does this right after the Council of Jerusalem, where he had agreed with them that circumcision was not necessary. Yet in this particular case, he circumcised Timothy. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it goes to show you, it's not circumcision that's important or not important. It's walking by the Spirit of God that is vital. And this particular case, just to, you know, for whatever, because his father was a Greek, to avoid all the nonsense, what the Israelites would have said about him, he had him circumcised. Why? And if you remember 1 Corinthians 9, what he says in there, all things to all men, whatever was necessary for the sake of what?
The gospel.
The gospel, right? Because it would have interfered with the moving of the gospel, so he has Timothy circumcised. Let's go, where are we?
Four.
Thank you. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees, which were the letters that we just read, for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So let's just take a look at that. So then they went that way. So they didn't preach the word in Asia Minor, because God told them not to. And so they went all the way up around to Troas, and that's where they ended up here in this particular verse. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. I see, they passing by Mysia came to Troas. And according to Coney, Bear, and Hausen, if you look on the map up there, and again, apologize to you on the phone lines, but from there, he says that Paul would have been able to see the hills of Samothracia, which is heading towards Macedonia. So they were sort of heading in that direction, and at the same time, a man of Macedonia appears to them here in a vision, praying and him saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came. Now, this is the first. The words change from them to we. So we know at this point whether Luke was with them before or not. We don't know, but at this point, Luke is definitely with them because this was written by the book of Luke. So Luke has joined them here in verse. The word we is meant in verse 11. We came with a straight course to Samothracia, again the hills which Paul would have been able to see from when he saw the vision, and the next day to Neapolis, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the area of Macedonia. So that's where he is right now. Okay. And from thence to Philippi. And we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a river side where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that he attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When they went to Philippi, the city of Philippi is mainly, can you guys see it up there? Yeah, it's up there. Up there. Right there. Now, they haven't quite made it to Berea, but right at the top there. Philippi was a military city. It was not a city of a lot of trade. Philippi was fashioned after Rome, and it was called a colonia. There were special cities that were fashioned after Rome, and so they would have a big military presence there. And citizenship would be very, very important to cities like that. So when you read the book of Philippians, you see the idea of citizenship is very strong in the book of Philippians. That's because Philippi is a colonia fashioned after Rome. And I was wondering why, when they came here, they didn't really go to a synagogue. They went to a riverside where Lydia was. And the reason for that is because in cities like this, because there wasn't much trade, you wouldn't have had much Jewish presence, because the Jewish people were very much into the mercantile trade. So there was very less presence there of Jewish people. So they didn't really have synagogues. So here they met by the riverside where prayer was wanted to be made. That's the reason why they're there. And let's keep reading. And it's verse 15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. I told you, when we look at some of these records, it's not historical as much as it is learning to walk with the power of God. Here's a perfect situation. Paul's teaching God's word. This woman is causing disruption, obviously, even though what she's saying technically is correct. Right? Were they showing on him the way of salvation? Were they the servants of the Most High God? Absolutely. So how did he know that there was a problem here? The Spirit of God. It was just a part of life. It wasn't like they get all psyched up. It was the part of their lives. And that's the way life is to be for us as well. It's not like, okay, I'm going to do my God thing. It's all the time. Here he is traveling around. This woman's causing trouble. God gives him the information, casts the spirit out, and away we go. And there's, which obviously causes more problems for him. But, and when our masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. There's a good chance Timothy and Luke were probably somewhere else at the time. We don't know. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." See, these guys here in Philippi are very much against the Jews, just like they would have been back in Rome. And Philippi is very much like Rome. So they were against the Jews. They trouble our city. Now, there was no law that said that if somebody exercised a devil spirit and it hurt your trade, that you could take them to court. Mm-hmm. Right? There was no such law. So what they said was, instead of that, they said, "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to observe, neither to observe, being Romans." And Coney Baron, in the book The Life and Epistles of Paul the Apostle, writes, "The law had no remedy for property depreciated by exorcism." So they just said this instead. So again, take note of some of these things that are happening to them in Philippi, because these are mentioned in the book of Thessalonians. Okay, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, verse 22, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Have we seen any indication so far of the vision of the man from Macedonia?
No.
Nothing, right? Remember he saw a vision? Come over and help us? Nothing's happened yet, has it? And what has happened to them? They've been beaten,
yeah.
Right? Things have happened to them. Let's keep reading. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, because that would have been even a death penalty for him if the prisoner escaped, right? So he didn't want that to happen, so he would have killed himself. Supposing that the prisoners had been fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Finally, right? Saw a vision, come help us. This man, the jailer, what do I have to do to be saved? You know, it just goes to show you, you know, like, you know, walking, as we've looked at before, walking with God is not some simple path, not, you know, without bumps and hazards in the way in life, is it? Because we have an adversary. There's a battle being waged. You know, not like God gave him a vision, you know, and the heavens opened and the angels sang and these men came. No. They got thrown in prison. They were beaten. And then the guy says, "Well, what do I have to do to be saved?" If they had just given up as soon as the first obstacle, they would never have gotten to this guy, right? Never. You know, it's good for us to understand. It's a battle. So, which verse are we on here?
30,
thank you. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. There you go. You know, wonderful change from being beaten and in prison to having one fellowship with believers. Quite a change. Verse 35, "And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told us, saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.' But Paul said unto them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. Now are they going to thrust us out privily? You know, they have no right to do that. But let them come themselves and fetch us out.' And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, because you're not allowed to be a Roman without any charges laid against them. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and they didn't go right away, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and then they departed." It's neat. They didn't, "Okay, right here." No. You let us take care of the believers first, and then we're going to go. Verse 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." And that's right up there. Thessalonica is right up there. I'm going to just finish the rest of this picture here, just so you have it here. That's the whole journey of the, that's the entire itinerary. So Thessalonica, as we see that arrow up there, so they arrived up there in the area of Macedonia. Okay, verse 1, chapter 17. "Now when they had passed it, they came," okay, where was a synagogue of the Jews? And now you see Philippi, Riverside, Thessalonica, right to a synagogue. Why? Because Thessalonica, where it's positioned here, the road that Paul would have traveled to go from Philippi to Thessalonica is a very, very famous road called the Ignatian Way. A very, very famous Roman road. High trade routes, where Thessalonica was positioned between, there was a lot of trade through Thessalonica. It was one of the most populous cities in Macedonia at the time. In fact, still is today. A lot of people still live there. So being very, very populous, being a very mercantile city, there would have been a lot of Jewish people there. And so immediately Paul goes into the synagogue. Thessalonica was originally called Therma, and it was renamed Thessalonica after a sister of Alexander the Great. Whoever would name their daughter Thessalonica, never mind that. But that was his sister's name. And it's located in the present-day country of Turkey. There's a lot of mention in the book of Acts about leaders who were in the area of Thessalonica, and there's a term called politarch that's used in the Greek. And it's interesting, that term would have only applied to certain cities. So when God told these men by revelation what to write, it was only by revelation that Luke could have used the right word for the leaders in Thessalonica and different words for other cities. You know, God is so precise in his use of terms. The leaders in Thessalonica would have been called politarchs, and that's the exact term that's used in the Bible. There was a lot of trade with Ephesus and Corinth via the Aegean Sea, so this whole area of the sea, trading with Corinth and Ephesus, there was a lot of trade in Thessalonica, and that also becomes important when we read the book of Thessalonians later on in some future fellowship. Okay. Where are we? Verse 2. As Paul's manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. This is his first entrance to Thessalonica now. And of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So he would have gone from Thessalonica down to Berea. He's down there now. Important to understand when these men are together here, it becomes important in Thessalonians. We'll see in a minute here. So now they're in Berea, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You talk about dedicated. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still, and they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, and received the commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. And they departed. So Paul goes all the way down to Athens here, but Silas and Timothy stay back there. So Paul is by himself in Athens. And you can read the rest of Acts chapter 17, where he does that wonderful sermon about the unknown God, which is a great read. And then we go down to the end of chapter 17, verse 32, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And these men are mentioned. Then in Acts chapter 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So he leaves Athens and comes over to Corinth, right over there. And so during the time that he was in Athens, he was by himself. The others were not with him. Verse 2, and certain Acts 18:2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, and lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had departed all Jews to depart from Rome. Remember we mentioned Jews were not very popular in Rome. They wouldn't have been popular in Philippi either. There's no synagogues there. So he had told them, get out, right? So they'd all departed. So Priscilla and Aquila are here because of that. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, you see, now they joined Paul in Corinth. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, and she shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. You know, it's an interesting witnessing technique. I was thinking about that verse. When you speak the word to somebody, you tell them. You know, there's a day coming that every word you say and everything you do will be judged by the man that God raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd be very careful of the things you say about the Bible and the things that are in the Word of God. Basically, your blood's upon your own head. You know, when Paul stood before Festus, remember in Acts 20-something, 26? He witnessed to him of judgment, righteousness, and temperance. Temperance, righteousness, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled at what he said. There's no reason why we should just mince our words when it comes to witnessing to people. The Word of God says someday every man is going to give account of the things they've done. You know, better to give account now and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ now, because later you're going to be forced to do it. It's not fear. It's the truth. This is what's going to happen. You know. So he tells them, your blood's upon your own heads. Verse 7, and he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose head house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed. Can you imagine? And the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the vision by night, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And after Corinth, Paul goes from Corinth over to Ephesus. That kind of covers his journey from when God first gave him revelation to go into Macedonia, the time that he now leaves that area and went to Ephesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just needed to cover that background. We're just going to look at a few verses in Thessalonians for this week, and we'll make our way through these two epistles over the next, who knows, much time. A few months, I imagine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silas and Timothy. Right away, when you see Paul and Silas and Timothy, you know that they were only together in certain places, right? For example, they were not together in Athens, were they? So this book couldn't have been written from Athens, because they were not together. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They were together in Philippi, Berea, and Corinth, but not in Athens. In chapter 2 of the epistles of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, where at?
Philippi.
So he's writing about something that happened at Philippi. They were together prior. They were together at Philippi, but he's writing about something that happened. So it couldn't have been written before Philippi, could it? So this book was written after Philippi. So after Philippi, they went to Thessalonica. He didn't write it from Thessalonica, right? Then another place they were together was Berea and Corinth, right? Okay, verse 2, we were bold in our God to speak unto this gospel of God with much contention. And in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So now he's referring to the time that he was in Athens alone in this epistle. So we know he couldn't have written this in Berea, because that happened afterwards, right? Okay. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, Timothy wasn't with Paul at Athens, was he? No. Silas and Timothy joined Paul later when they were at Corinth. So this book of 1 Thessalonians most likely was written from Corinth. To me, it was amazing when I read this. It was like Timothy just joined them on his itinerary, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just joined them. But the man had such quality that Paul thought that he would be a good candidate to go back and sent back to Thessalonica to see how they were doing. That's how much trust he had in this man. And he just met him. Maybe a few months, I don't know what how long the time was. But it shows you how much you can grow immediately with the Word of God, doesn't it? Because even he calls Timothy as a man later on, as a man who's equal, isosukos, equal-souled with him, cares for the believers the same way in which Paul cared for them. And you can see right from this young man's life, when he first heard of Paul, Paul sends Timothy back to Thessalonians to see how they're doing. To establish you, verse 2, and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So that means that the adversary can destroy your faith, your believing. He can destroy it. And Paul sends Timothy back, said, listen, I wanted to make sure your faith had not been destroyed. Verse 6, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your believing. Right. And in 2 Thessalonians, we'll close there in chapter 1, verse 1. This book also reads, Paul and Silas and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, once again, it's written by the three men when they were together. And because Paul was in Corinth for a year and 3 months, after the first epistle, there's a very good chance the second epistle also was written from Corinth when they were all together there. That kind of gives you a bit of a book, and that's approximately 52 to 54 AD. And that's a bit of a background on the books of Thessalonians, and gives you a little bit of a indication of the kind of things that were going on in the church when Paul traveled to that area. It gives you an indication a little bit about Timothy. And you see how in their lifestyle as they lived in Thessalonians, has a bunch of themes in it that we'll look at briefly over the next little while. But some of them is how Paul and his company behaved themselves among the believers. They were always very, very, very much concerned about the believers to make sure that they were okay, they were growing, their faith wasn't being destroyed. You'll remember records like where it talks about he took care of them like a father or a mother, nursing mother or a father, he took care of them. That was the attributes used of Paul when he was with the Thessalonians. You get a little chance to see a little background, and we'll start right into the books whenever we're together next time through the Lord, Terry. So